Shall we begin to turn to the Gospel of John? The Gospel of John, the fifth chapter. The fifth chapter of the Gospel of John, and we start reading in verse 39, where it is said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye may have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can you believe, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words?" Our subject this evening is Christ in the prophets. Well, that leaves me much room to take any subject out of the Scriptures, as long as it has Christ as a subject. You see, the whole Scripture is produced by prophets. Even the apostles of the New Testament were in fact prophets, because the words they wrote were inspired by God and by the Holy Ghost himself. But nevertheless, it is true that the whole Bible, every page of the Bible, speaks of Christ in many ways, in different ways, as it is said in the first verse of Hebrews chapter 1. God has spoken in many different ways through the prophets in the past, and in the time of the apostles, he spoke by his Son, and he spoke through his Son. Fact is that all the Scriptures speak about Christ. That doesn't mean that those who study the Scriptures always have recognized that this was the case. And the same is true today for them that search the Scriptures. It is true, and it's a shame that it is true, that many theologians today do not see that God is revealing himself in his word. And when God is revealing himself, he is speaking about his Son. Many men, even Christians, think that God is speaking about us, and that God is telling us in his word how we should live. But God is not speaking about us. God is speaking about his Son. It is the Father who reveals himself, and his revealings, all what he speaks, is about his Son. "For the Father and I are one," said the Lord once. I think you know that in the first chapter of this gospel, it is said that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And further on in verse 14 of the same chapter, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You see, God is Word. His being is Word. It's difficult for me to speak about such a subject in a foreign language. It's even difficult to speak about such a subject in my own language, you see. We should know what a word is. God is Word, and the Word is God. And in any case, it means that because God is Word, he is the one who reveals himself. When he reveals something, he is revealing himself. He is Word, and that's why God is speaking. But as soon as there is the Word of God, as soon as there is a message of God, that message is nobody else than Christ. Or in other words, that message is the Son of God. And that's why every single word that we find in the Bible is about Christ. God is revealing himself, and his revealings are Christ. And when we put it the other way around, then we should see that Christ is the one who reveals the Father. This means that it's very difficult to speak about Christ in the prophets, Because every page of the Bible speaks of Christ. Every word, even every letter of the Bible speaks of Christ. There's no time for that, for a subject like that, but I do believe that each letter of the Scripture speaks about Christ. I could show it to you. But you should know that the title Christ means the anointed. And if we speak about what the prophets are telling us about Christ, we shall see that the prophets speak about Christ in three different ways. In the first place, the prophets speak about Christ as the prophet, naturally, because Christ is the Word of God. If there has ever been a prophet of God, it was Jesus Christ, you see. He was the Word. He not only ministered the Word, which he did, but he not only ministered the Word, he was the Word. Not only the words he spoke were words of God, but also the things he did testified of God. All the things he did testified about invisible, unseen things. Well, the Lord is addressing himself to the scribes in John chapter 5, which we read. And he says to them, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life." They thought that they had eternal life in the scriptures. Wasn't it true? That's the question. Were they wrong? Well, there is eternal life in the scriptures. As a matter of fact, eternal life is nothing else than in the scriptures. You may say, but eternal life is in Christ. And then I shall answer, it's the same. Because the scriptures speak of Christ. There's no difference at all. And that's what the scribes in their days didn't understand. And that's what the scribes in our days do not understand. That there is no difference between the scriptures and Christ. Between the written word of God and the living word of God, you see. They searched the scriptures and they thought that they had eternal life in the scriptures. And that is correct. Why is that correct? Because the Lord is telling us, and they are they which testify of me. The scriptures are testifying of Christ. Nothing else. Nobody else. The scriptures do not testify about men. The scriptures testify of Christ, who is the one who brought forth eternal life. He had eternal life in his being. The scriptures contain eternal life, that's true. But that's only because they testify of Christ. And that's why the Lord tells them, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and ye will not come to me that you might have life." The purpose of the word of God, the purpose of the written, or maybe the spoken word of God, is that the hearers of that word, or the readers of that word, should come to him who has eternal life, namely Christ. "And ye will not come to me that you might have life." The scriptures point to Christ. Every page of the Bible points to Christ. And if you read or search the Bible, in any case, when we believe the Bible, we should come to Christ. And I know that the Jewish scribes, even in this day, in our day, have a reputation of knowing the scriptures. But I say, and who am I? But I say they haven't. They do not know the scriptures. They have no knowledge of the scriptures, for they do not know Christ. And even if you say they are expecting Christ, then I should say they are not all expecting Christ. Most Jews do not. And even if they are expecting Christ, they are wrong. He came already. And his coming in future has no use for them if they do not believe in him who came already. If they do not come to him who gave his life as a ransom for many. You see, I've learned a lot from Jewish scribes. I can tell you, it's right. But they never told me that all they learned me was only about Christ. They taught a lot about things in Scripture, but they thought it was about men, or it was about the Jew, or it was about Israel. And they got mad. They got angry when I told them it was not men, It was not Israel, but it was Christ about God was speaking in his word. They do not want to believe. They search the scriptures. They do not believe the scriptures. Just like the Emmausgangers, as we call them, the men who went to Emmaus, they went the wrong way. They didn't believe the scriptures. In any case, they didn't believe all the scriptures. That's what the Lord told them. And they went the wrong way. If they believed all the scriptures, if they had believed all the scriptures, they would have gone the other way, to Jerusalem, to him who was raised out of the dead, you see. For the scriptures speak about him who should die on the cross and who should afterwards raise out of the dead as the firstborn of a new creation. That's the gospel. Well, it is the Lord himself who knew the scriptures, who studied the scriptures. People are often telling me that we know so little about the youth of Jesus of Nazareth. We know something about him when he was 12 years old, and then we hear again of him when he is 30 years of age. And what was in between, we are supposed not to know, but we should know what was in between. We should know what the Lord, what our Lord did from when he was 12 years old, and even before that time, until he was 30 years old. There was nothing new to tell about him. It remained all the same. He was studying the scriptures from when he was 12 years old, at least, until he was 30 years old, and even after that. And his walk, his life, from that time, from when he was 30 years of age, was a life and a walk according to what he had seen in the scriptures. He was the one who knew that the scriptures were talking about him, about the Son, about the promised Messiah, which he was. And that's why he went his way, a way which led him to the cross and into death. And he went this way in the first place because he was a believer. The scriptures tell us that he was a believer. The scriptures speak of the belief of Jesus and the belief of the faith of Jesus, the faith of Christ himself. You see, he was a believer and he went his way according to those scriptures because he was a believer. And in the second place, because the glory which was in future for him, you see. For there's only one way to be glorified. There's one way. It's the way through death. And that's true for him, and that's true for us, and that's true for the whole world. And it's even true for the Jewish nation. Death and resurrection is the way which God has purposed for his creation. And it was the way our Lord walked. It was his way through death and resurrection. And that's why he became the firstborn of a new creation. And if we are believers, we are one plant with him. We are unified with him. And we are died, crucified with him. And we are resurrected again with him. And we are a church of newborn as firstlings, firstborns of a new creation. That's what the prophets of the Old Testament prophesied. But the scribes didn't know, because they didn't want to know. They searched the scriptures because of their own needs, you see. Israel had to do with enemies, with the Romans, for example. But all nations have been enemies of Israel throughout history. And Israel was waiting for someone who should redeem them from their enemy. That's what they wanted, a redeemer, someone to free them from their enemies. And even today, those Jews who are awaiting the Messiah of Israel, the Christ, they are waiting for him because they need someone to free them from their enemies, even today. That's what they are waiting for. But the scriptures, the prophets, are clear to explain and to declare that this Messiah should first die, should be humbled even to death. And nearly any page of the scriptures, even the Old Testament, speak of the blood of the Messiah of Israel, the blood of he who should be the Son of God. He should come to die and to rise again on the third day. And what I said yesterday, I will repeat now. Take your concordances when you are home and look how often the figure 3 occurs in Scripture and in which connection it occurs. And you will see that every time when this figure occurs in Scripture, it speaks of death and resurrection on the third day. Israel should have known that. There was a man, Nicodemus, and he was a teacher, the teacher of Israel. And he didn't know anything about death and resurrection. He didn't know anything about regeneration. It's 2 chapters before this chapter, John 3. He didn't know anything. So what did he know? If he didn't know this fundamental truth of the Scriptures, what did he know? Nothing at all. Why not? Well, the Lord is telling us he didn't believe. Afterwards he believed. That's right. Because he met the living Word of God, who opened his eyes. You see, many men are misled, not misled by a heathen, not by the Gentile, but they are misled by theologians, you see. They are the ones who deal with the Scriptures, and they are the ones who teach the wrong things. They are the ones who want us to believe that the Lord will improve our lives. They want us to believe that God is the one who wants to improve his creation, to improve our circumstances, and so on and so on. And maybe even our financial position. I know such Christians, but it isn't true. God is the one who wants the dead of the old nature, the dead of the old man, the dead even of the old creation, and even the dead of his own son. God was speaking through prophets. And in those latter days, God has spoken through the Son, who was a prophet. He was a prophet, as is said in Acts chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. You see, they are they which testify of me, we read in John 5. And here it is said that Moses truly said, you see, the books of Moses testified of Christ. Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. A new prophet should come. A new prophet was promised. A prophet of your brethren, which means a prophet out of Israel. A Jew. A Jewish prophet, again. A prophet like Moses. And as Moses was the man, the tool in God's hand to minister the old covenant, so this promised prophet was the one who shall be a minister of a new covenant, which means that the old covenant of which Moses was a minister should fade away, or in other terms, it should be fulfilled. And in any case, it means it should belong to the past. It belongs in a museum. To study it, that's correct, to study it, to see it, to behold it, because it speaks of that which should come, and that's that what is in these days come already. You see, we live under a new covenant. And Israel, in these days, is living, as far as possible, under an old covenant. And it's a shame to say, but many Christians today live under an old covenant. A covenant of law, the law of Moses. Or maybe a self-made law. Do it yourself. That's what the Pharisees did. And the Sadducees, in the days of our Lord. And it is done today. But it belongs to an old covenant because it has to do with an old nature, an old creation. And we are a new creation under a new covenant, under a new prophet like unto Moses, namely Christ. But Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Well, every soul which didn't hear the prophet Moses was not destroyed from among the people. Some were, as an example, but not all were, of course. But everyone, every soul which will not hear that prophet, every soul which will not hear the living word of God, which is Christ, shall be destroyed from among the people. Because in this living word is life. And because Christ is living forever, because he has eternal life, because of this, the life we get from that word is eternal life, incorruptible life. For some people, it's hard to believe that there is life in words. Well, let me say, in the first place, if I didn't believe that, then I shouldn't speak to you now. I use words because I believe there is power in words, generally speaking. But more special, there is power in the word of God. You see, in my words is my power, not very much. But in God's word is God's power. In my words is my life, simple, corruptible life. But in the words of God is eternal life. You should know as a Christian that death is the same as separation. God says man is dead in sins. And that means that there is separation between God and man. And when we think somebody is dead, we do think that because there is separation, there's no contact anymore. There's no communication. So death is the absence of communication. That's true in the Bible. Never mind our dictionaries. Read the Bible and you see it for yourself. And because death is the absence of communication, because of this reason, the word is life. Because word is communication. Word in itself is communication. When the word of God comes to us and we hear it and it comes in us, you see, we believe it, then there is communication between God and man. And that's life. And because the word of God is an incorruptible seed, as we read yesterday in this place, as the word of God is an incorruptible seed, because of this reason, the life which springs from that seed is eternal life. When we believe this eternal word of God, we shall have eternal life, for word is life. My words are spirit and life, says the Lord. And life and spirit are the same thing as well. Spirit is life. There's more to say about spirit, but spirit is in any case life. Spirit is life. My words is spirit and life. You see? And that's the reason why a dead sinner, someone who is dead in his sins and his trespasses, that someone who is dead, someone who is a sinner, receives everlasting life simply by believing the word of God. He hasn't to fight his sins. He has to accept the word of God, which means he has to accept these written words in the scriptures, but it is the same as he has to accept Jesus Christ, who is the one who reveals God to mankind. There's no other message in scripture. All the pages of scripture speak of this truth. We have seen in Acts chapter 3, verse 23, that it is said, "And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people." So the one who doesn't hear Christ, the one who doesn't believe in the living word of God, shall be destroyed from among the people, whoever he may be. Maybe he is a scribe, maybe he is a reverend, it's no difference. He should believe in the word of God. And that's what scriptures repeat over and over again. And I turn now to Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15, because here we find the verses which were quoted in Acts chapter 3. "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me." Exactly the same words which were obviously known in the days of the Lord, but not believed. And it is repeated in verse 18, where the Lord is speaking, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. These are the same words which are quoted in Acts chapter 3. It is said that the promised prophet, namely Christ, should speak God's words, because the words of the Lord God should be in his mouth. And that's what is repeated in the Gospel of John, where it is said that the words of the Lord were the words of his Father. The words which the Son spake were the word of the Father, you see. And that means that he was the prophet which was promised here in these verses. And the words of this prophet have to do with eternal life. To see that, we shall turn again to the Gospel of John. And I refer to chapter 12, the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 49. And I begin with verse 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. And is more or less a repetition of the words in Deuteronomy 18, verse 18, because it is said that the one who doesn't hear, who doesn't believe the words which the Lord spoke, he will be destroyed from among the people. Yes. And then verse 49, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. So he is the one who fulfilled the promise of Deuteronomy 18, verse 18. He was the prophet, and the people had to hear him, or else they should be destroyed from among the people. And this is true even today. And then verse 50, and I know that his commandment is life everlasting. His commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. His commandment is life everlasting. You see, the words which God has spoken are life. And that's the reason why they give life. And all the words of the Old Testament, as well as the New Testament, all those words speak of the Word of God. And the Word of God is Christ. And whosoever believeth in him, who is the word of Christ, receives everlasting life. Because the word is communication. The word makes communion between God and man. And that's only possible if we believe this word. And that's exactly what is said in John's chapter 3, some pages before, John chapter 3, verse 34, for he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. You see, the one who speaks the words of God, the one in whom the words of God are, receives the Spirit not by measure. Well, in the first place, this verse deals with Jesus Christ, of course. But it is not said exactly. It speaks about anyone who speaks the words of God. It speaks of anyone who believes the words of God, who has the words of God in him. And then it is said, for God gives him not the Spirit by measure. And Spirit in Scripture, I repeat, is life. And there is no measure in that life. There is no measure, because that life is everlasting. That Spirit is everlasting, eternal. And that's what is repeated in the next verses. The Father loveth the Son and has given all things into his hand. That's why I point to that same Son this evening. He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. You see, he gives the Spirit not by measure, because he that believes on the Son has everlasting life. There's no measure. There's no time. There's no border. There's eternal life, you see. There's no end. There's no measure. And that life is in the Scriptures, as far as the Scriptures speak about the Son. That life is in the Son because that life is in the Word of God. There's no difference. And I may encourage you this evening to believe in the first place in Christ Himself, in Him who gave His life for you, in Him who rose again from the dead. You see, that He died is not good news. That He rose again out of the dead, that's good news. Resurrection, that's what it is, resurrection. We should see a lamb, but risen. That's the good news. So believe in Him who died and rose again as the firstborn of a new creation. I keep repeating the term. And in the second place, those who believe in Him, well, may I remind you that you can only know Him and believe in Him who about whom the Scriptures have spoken. We should always turn to the Scriptures. In the Scriptures is everlasting life. You can be a child of God by believing in Christ, that's correct. But if you want to have a Christian life according to Scripture, according to the will of God, then you should turn to the Scripture, study the Scriptures, believe the Scriptures. Not only John 3:16, but everything, anything God has spoken, for that's the will of God. Amen.